Well, good evening, church family. So good to worship with you this evening, to spend this time together celebrating the birth of King Jesus. For those of you who have not had a chance to meet, my name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and we're so glad that you have joined us this Christmas Eve. I look at a very full room, and I know that we have some of you who are in overflow, and we just thank you so much for joining us and for your understanding as we navigate a very small space. By God's grace, this might be our second to last Christmas in this building as we're beginning in the new year, hopefully a new sanctuary building. So you can just know that we are doing all we can to make room for you, our community, a new sanctuary and expansion of this property so that we can host you more with just greater hospitality. It's our desire that you'd feel so welcome here. And I want to say thank you to your many family and friends that are here. I know some of you have joined. Your family members came in from out of town or came across town so that you could celebrate Christmas together. We're so glad that you're here. And those of you who are guests who just said, hey, we want to go and worship on Christmas Eve and look for a church, and you stumbled upon City Church, we are so humbled and honored that you would come and worship with us. And so thank you for being here. We look forward to celebrating this season with you, and I would love an opportunity, if I haven't had a chance to do so, I know there's a lot of you, but I really would, and our elder team would love a chance to meet you, to encourage you, and so while you're having coffee and hot chocolate and cookies and all those enjoying, taking pictures, please make a point to say hello. We would love to wish you a Merry Christmas and to greet you again more personally. We are thinking about, as we've been working our way here in this church, we've been working our way through this series called Promises Made, Promises Kept. And in the Old Testament, we have looked over and over again at the promises of God made to us that assured us of the hope that we could have because of Christmas. And here on Christmas Eve, we begin to look and get to celebrate that the promises of God that were made to us have been kept for us by Jesus. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. And this is really the impossibility of the Christmas season and the Christmas story, an amazing thing that God would come to dwell with us. But it's not just something that was impossible, it was something that is also very necessary. And we're going to look very briefly at two passages of Scripture that I hope will remind us of what it is that we are doing here this evening, and therefore what we do with our lives as we follow Jesus and worship Him, and as we sang earlier, adore Him. If you'll look with me at Luke chapter 1, this will be behind me on the screens, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Jesus is coming to be with us. What we celebrate at Christmas helps us to see, or paints a picture for us, of the impossibility of Christmas. That God would take on flesh. It is something truly impossible. When Mary asked the question there in 34, how can this be? If we are wise, this would be a right response for every single one of us. When we think about the idea that the sovereign of the universe, the God who put that rain in the sky this evening, who later, as we read in the Christmas story with Miss Jessica, flung the stars and the moon in the sky here, that God, the God who breathed air into our lungs this morning so that we could have life, that God came to be like us, took on flesh. Impossible, except nothing is impossible with God. But it should cause our hearts to be in awe, because we would never come up with this story. If we were to write, if you were to ask one of any one of us, including myself, hey, write the story about how God would redeem a people who have drifted away from him and rejected him and turned away from him over and over again, I think we'll have a baby come. No one would come up with that. I remember when my boys were younger, I've got three older sons these days, but when they were little, and some of you that have these preschool age children, you're getting these this week, or you picked these up, little gifts that they would make for you at school. They'd fill out things, and every now and again, they would write a little story, and the teacher would ask them a question. What do you think this, how did this happen? How did this happen? One of my favorites, he'll hate me for this, but my middle son, he made us a turkey recipe. And my favorite line is, cook the turkey till it's a million miles hot. I don't know if we served him a lot of hot turkey when he was young. I don't know what the situation was, but that's what he came up with. And if we were to write a story to talk about or to understand how God was going to act in this world, we would come up with something never, as outlandish as we might be like children, we would never come up with this, that God would come in the form of an infant. Maybe we'd write that he would come in all of his majesty and all of his power with his flowing robes and declare that his kingdom was here and put an end to all the other kingdoms immediately, but that's not what he did. He came in humility as an infant in a manger, in a cave, a place that we would never pick for a king. This is the impossibility of Christmas, and as we remember and realize it, and I hope don't move too quickly into presents and dinners and all of the other things that we get to do this season, I hope that that causes our hearts to worship as we just become more and more in awe of what God has done. This is the impossibility of Christmas. Well, what comes with the impossibility of Christmas is, why would God do it this way, which is the necessity of Christmas. We looked at this conversation between Mary and an angel where God is announcing to Mary what he's going to do. We're going to look next at a conversation between an angel and Joseph, who helps us to understand, why is it that God did what he did? Look with me at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hold on to that verse. All this took place to fulfill that the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. See, the necessity of Christmas that required this impossible work of God is that there was no other way for the people of God to be saved from their sins. Notice I said to hold on to that verse in 21, that she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, the angel of the Lord told Joseph this is what was required in order that the sins of the world could be dealt with. That the sins of the world, that's my sin and your sin and the sins of all people for all time, that God could deal with those things in a just but also gracious way. See, here's what happened. You may know this story well, but let me remind you that God had told Adam and Eve, he had placed them in the garden where he dwelt with them in perfect harmony. There was no break between God and man. And all they had to do was obey the commandments that God had given them, but they couldn't do that. And so they fell into sin. They disobeyed God. And when God issued his judgment upon mankind, he said, if you disobey me, you will surely die. Death was a requirement for sin, was a result of sin. And so If God is just, and if he is going to be God, then he must be just and holy. He could not become a liar, and so he had to deal with sin, and sin requires death. And this is where we see the necessity of Christmas, because God was going to deal justly with sin, but he was going to do it in such a way that you and I could receive redemption. See, the enemy who had tempted Adam and Eve into sin, he thought in that moment when they fell into sin, he thought to himself, I've done it. I have stripped God of the glory that he intended to receive from his creation. See, God had created all of this creation, and he had given life to mankind, the pinnacle of his creation, so that we might bring glory to God. That's why he gave us life. That's why you exist, so you could bring glory to God. And there for a moment, Satan thought to himself, they've disobeyed him, and now he'll have to put them to death because he's a man of his word, because he's God. And so he'll put all of creation to death, and he won't get any of the glory that he intended. And then God said, just wait. I'll send my son, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God himself will come, and he will pay the penalty for the sins of the world so that my creation, my people whom I love, that's you, friend. You are so loved that God sent his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have eternal life. God did this as an act of redemption, and it started at Christmas. Christmas is necessary because it gives us the Savior of the world, which leads to our redemption. One pastor said it this way, because of our sins, the cost of redemption is remarkably high, but the Lord Jesus Christ paid this price in full. This is what he did. At Christmas time, God himself, through his son Jesus, flipped the enemy's plans on his head. He entered in impossibly to dwell with us, to be like us, so he could begin to gather us up so that one day, just as it was in the garden, he could make all things new and we could have perfect fellowship with God again. That's what Christmas does. That's why we worship. That's why when we sing the song, O Holy Night, and you hear those words, fall on your knees, that's not just a moment to marvel at Jess's vocal abilities. That is a moment to literally fall on your knees, whether physically or in your heart, humble yourself before God and say, this is what he has done. How holy and righteous and just and amazing is this gift. Oh, Lord, I worship you above all. That is the proper response to Christmas. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And again, I hope we don't move too quickly to all the other great gifts of Christmas and miss worshiping, falling on our knees before King Jesus and saying, thank you. One last quote, and I'm done. I love this quote from an old pastor, pastored many years. Christ, who in eternity rested motherless upon the fatherless bosom, upon the Father's bosom, and in time rested fatherless upon a woman's bosom, clasping the Ancient of Days who had become the Infant of Days. What deep descent. From the heights of glory to the depths of shame, from the wonders of heaven to the wickedness of earth, from exaltation to humiliation, from the throne to the tree, from dignity to debasement, from worship to wrath, from the halls of heaven to the nails of earth, from the coronation to the curse, from the glory place to the gory place. In Bethlehem, humility and glory in their extremes were joined, born in a stable, cradled in a cattle trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes of poverty, no room for him who made all rooms, no place for him who made and knows all places. Oh, deep humiliation of the Creator, born of the creature, but in his descent was the dawn of mercy. Don't miss this, friends, because we cannot ascend to him. He descended to us. This is what Jesus has done for us, for all who would believe. the impossibility that God would come to be with us, a necessary sacrifice so that our sins could be redeemed, so that we could have right fellowship with God. We couldn't make our way to God. There's not one of you that has the ability to make his own way to God. And so, because of that, God came for us. What a gift. I pray as we close our time together, we respond to this truth with worship. Let this truth wash over you again and again. Be led to just a place of awe over what God has done at Christmas time. For some of you, this is an old story. And sadly, old stories often get sort of pushed to the wayside, and we kind of forget those old stories, and we take them for granted because we know the old story. We don't need to hear it again. Friends, you need to hear this story every single day of your life, every moment of your life, what Christ has done for you. And so perhaps fresh and anew this evening, you just allow this Christmas season to be reminded of all that Jesus has done. And there are some of you who this evening, you're here because friends and family wanted you to be here. You're here worshiping with us, but you're not sure. You didn't know who Jesus was, but perhaps by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, tonight you say, I think I finally understand what Christ is. I think I have an understanding of Christmas. Don't move too quickly from that. Would you just meditate on that moment? Would you just humble yourself before God and say, God, thank you for what I've heard. I want to know more. And find me. I'm the only guy wearing a green jacket. Find one of our elders. Find one of these worship leaders. Find one of us and say, hey, I want to talk more about that. There's nothing more important than having that conversation. We'd love to have that conversation with you tonight, or schedule a time to pick that up after the holidays. Don't miss this moment. Fall on your knees and worship King Jesus tonight. Jesus, we do worship you and we give you thanks for the impossibility of Christmas and the necessity of Christmas, that you didn't turn away, that you stepped down from heaven to live the life that we could never live and die the death that we deserved, so that we might be redeemed, we might be reconciled to God. Thank you, Jesus, that while we could not make our way to you on our own, that you chose to come for us. We thank you for your humility. We thank you for your love. I pray that that love would sink deeply into every heart in this room, every person that can hear the sound of my voice, whether in an overflow room, online, by extension, somewhere else, or wherever they may be. Would you just give us that assurance? Move in powerful ways, even as we dismiss tonight here in a few moments. We worship you. We love you. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world.